Everybody, if you have your Bibles, I know you probably do. You've already turned to Genesis, but we're going to minister to you some things that are real important today. We want you to go to today. I want you to go to Romans 15. Romans 15. We'll read the scripture in a second. What have we been ministering to you about? The blessing of the Lord. And according to Proverbs 10, what will the blessing of the Lord do, among other things? The Bible says, not just some crazy preacher, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich or brings wealth, and he adds no sorrow with it, no trouble with it.
Amen.
To be blessed means simply this, to be empowered to increase, to be empowered to multiply. And when God created this world, he in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created this world in such a form to where it would accommodate the power of this blessing, because that was God's intention in creating man to begin with. He created him, and the first words that any human ever heard out of his ear was, "Be blessed, multiply, fill the earth."
Right. Yeah.
Amen. God created this place so that he could bless. Listen, if you were God, and we're so glad you're not, but if you were, and you had all the resources, and you had all the power that God has, and you had then the love that God has, what would be your greatest heart's desire? To have somebody to pour out what I can do on. I'm telling you, that's the God we serve. I mean, that's why he sent Jesus. Because the blessing had been stopped up through sin. And it's God's desire. You know, think about just if you had complete unlimited resources. How many cars can you drive yourself? How many houses can you live in? Right? I mean, whatever it is that you like. Video games. How many can you play at one time? I mean, whatever it is. What would be your biggest heart's desire? At some point, you're going to, I want to bless the people that I love. And love drove God to do what he did in creating this earth. And the blessing was so powerful. Amen. And still is powerful. The blessing of the Lord will multiply you, will increase you. And we're told now that we're to look to a guy named Abraham in the Bible to see how God blessed him. And we're told that we're to expect the blessing in our lives like it looked in Abraham's life. And I'll just very quickly reiterate the eight things that I saw that the blessing did in Abraham. The first thing it did was what? It made him rich. Not just spiritually rich, but financially and materially rich. Blessed. It did. Then number two, we said that the blessing made him self-sufficient to where he was not dependent on all the government and this and that and for what he needed. He was able to operate anything that God told him to do. He was able to do it. The resources were there for it. Thirdly, we said that the blessing made him impenetrable. He lived protected in a time where if you wanted to take over a city, you just got an army and did it. And Abraham essentially was his own city. He lived alone in a land that was not an incorporated and didn't have a king in Abraham's territory besides him. And nobody was able to put a hand on him.
That's right.
Including the devil. His whole life, he was protected.
Amen.
The blessing did that.
Yes.
It's okay to get excited about this because this is not bad news. Amen. I mean, you start saying these things that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and people look like, oh. Well, forgive me. I actually believe the Word of God. I mean, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And that, it makes me happy to hear these things because Because what God did for Abraham, we're told that the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. You might say, well, I don't know anybody that's like that. It don't matter if you know anybody that has it or not. Most people don't know about it. How are you going to have what you don't know?
That's right.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're going to tell you how you can have what you do know.
Yes, sir.
Number four, the blessing multiplied his influence. He didn't just reach one person.
Right.
The blessing, number five, kept him physically. The man was having kids at 100.
Yeah.
Number six, the blessing increased as his faith increased. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. That means that where you and I are right now doesn't have to stay there. It can go up and it should go up. The blessing, number seven, it caused the people that were around him closely to be increased. Remember how Lot was increased by hanging around with Abraham. Remember how Jacob's uncle was increased just because Jacob was there working for him. And we said to you that if the blessing's on you, you can work for an ungodly boss. And that boss should notice and thank God that you show up every day and realize that the reason we're in business, partly at least, is because I have this person. There's something about them. There's something on them that causes us to do well. In every job that my wife has had, that's been the case, including this last one. We just found out a couple days ago what she works for a doctor. We found out what the doctor's been saying about her. And she's one of the newcomers. But he's saying, no, she's the one. I have confidence in her being there more than just about anybody. Well, see, y'all, that's not a shock. That's not a surprise. Everywhere we go, the blessing's on us.
Thank you, Lord.
When I left my last job where I was actually working and employed, I went and said goodbye to the individual who was my superior. And he looked at me. He said, I got to tell you, you have done everything we've asked you to do. You've gone beyond what we've asked. And you've been such a blessing to us, and you've added things to us. Well, that should be normal for the believers. It shouldn't be that the Christians are the one calling in late every day, or not calling in, just showing up late, and not showing up, and complaining, dragging their feet. But you understand that's the way it is with some people. Well, then number eight, the blessing caused, we just saw this about Isaac, the blessing caused other people, maybe not so closely associated with him, but other people around him to take notice and even be jealous. In other words, the blessing was visible.
Amen.
Well, this is the blessing that you and I have something to do with. Now you're just going to really, are you ready today? Where are you at? Romans 15? I'm going to try and contain myself. I'm going to try and hold it together. But I'm just excited because we're closing in. We're actually getting towards the end of these messages. And everything we've said was to get us to a place that we're getting close to getting to. Does that make sense? Getting close to getting to? We don't have a perfect earth, so we don't have the possibility of seeing the blessing at its highest potential in the earth. But I want to define today, what can we see? What can we expect? And in Romans 15, the book of Romans, you understand, was a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church. Where?
Rome.
How'd you guys get so smart? You put that together that Romans would be the people of Rome. Very good. And in the 29th verse, I want you to hear this. Paul says this, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Paul's talking about the fact that I'm going to come and see you guys. And he said, when I come, I know. Other translations say, I am sure that when I come, I will come in the full measure or the fullness of the blessing.
Wow.
What a verse. Paul, when it talks about the fullness of blessing, that means this. That means that the blessing was by degree. And it was measurable. In other words, you can have the blessing on your life in a lesser or greater degree, even though Jesus died that we might all have it in its fullness. Do you understand that the Lord providing something for us does not ensure that we will actually experience it to its fullest degree or at all? We'll explain that in a second. But the fullness of the blessing would be the maximum that you and I could expect to see, right? And we've been told in other places in the New Testament that the maximum potential that we can expect is everything that Abraham had, plus the things that were promised to him that he didn't live to see, the spiritual part of it. When comparing Abraham's blessed life, I mean, wasn't he blessed? How many of you have an army of 300 in your house? How many have your name in the Bible and it says about you, and so-and-so was very rich? If the Bible calls you very rich, you're very rich. Just blessed. I mean, you know, living to 175 and being active. You know, that's one thing to live to be in your 90s and 100s and have five machines to keep you and 17 prescriptions to keep you going. Come on now. That's almost better to go home. For the Christian, when you know that you know where you're going,
right,
you're not afraid of it. It's like, I mean, if that's what living down here is. But Abraham, he didn't have to have Aflac and all the supplemental coverage. Come on, now. Abraham was blessed. He was blessed. The boy was blessed. Well, most Christians would be thrilled with a fraction of what Abraham had. But I want you to know Jesus didn't come and die for us to have a fraction of what was already available. Paul made this statement. I know that when I see you, I'll be experiencing the fullness of this thing. He said, you'll see me with the maximum potential of the blessing operating in my life. Now, that statement would get him kicked out of most churches. But somehow it slipped into the Bible. The editors weren't careful enough, and they let a statement like that in the Bible. When you know most churches don't agree with that kind of talk. See, religion has taught us wrong. Religion has taught us you're not to expect the blessing. You just leave everything in His hands. No, that's not right. And then religion is also taught, well, now it's not spiritual for you to be asking anything for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So hasn't it, religion says somehow it's selfish for you to ask anything of yourself. And religion says we should only ask, you know, that God would bless others. Mm-hmm. Part of Abraham's blessing, the highest part of it, was that you will be a blessing to others. But you have to be blessed to be a blessing. How are you going to be a blessing to others and you ain't blessed yourself? How does that work? Well, a couple years ago, somebody came out with a book called The Prayer of Jabez. You remember that book a couple years ago? And then Christians finally got from the side of, well, you don't want to ask God to bless you. But then they read that book and they said, well, yeah, now it is okay. You can't ask God to bless you because the prayer of Jabez said, Lord, bless me. You know both those positions are unscriptural? Did you know that? Do you know both of those are wrong? Jabez's prayer was good and right in his day because of the covenant that he lived in, but we're already under the blessing. You know, to even pray now, and this, you know, I realize I'm going to do away with most people's prayers here, but to pray, God bless Aunt Millie. That does about as much good as, you know, reciting a nursery rhyme. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's how most people pray, though. And that's why everybody gets the same results. Hardly any. Would you turn over to Ephesians chapter 1? You engage this morning. You open and receiving. Oh, praise God, man. I'm so glad that I realize I wouldn't know a thing if God hadn't shown me. And so, but he has shown me and he's showing you, and it's okay to be a little thrilled. Ephesians 1. Everybody say the fullness of the blessing. The fullness of the blessing. The maximum pop. Come on. We ought not to be running around firing a gun with no gunpowder in it. We ought to have some power about us. Verse 3, Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Look at this. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Bible teaches that he has blessed us. You understand that you and I don't have to pray for something that he's already given me. So what if you want to pray for Aunt Millie? Well, keep reading down in this chapter. Go down to the 17th verse or the 18th verse where Paul prays a prayer. And he said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know. Amen. That's what Aunt Millie needs. She needs to know what God's already done for her. So that's how you pray. Father, I pray for Aunt Millie that you open her eyes, that she'd see what you've already done, what you've already provided, and that she could come to the place where she's a partaker of it, that she might receive it in its fullness. And while you're at it, may as well pray that for yourself. Hmm? What's our greatest need? Oh, God, send a blessing. Bless me. The Bible says he already has. Lord, open my eyes. Help me see what you've done for me. And then we'll walk in that. You might, whether you believe this or not this morning, why don't you say amen real strong to that. Amen. See, as far as God's concerned, when Jesus redeemed us, the blessing in its fullness came on us. But for it to be reality in our lives, now I said before that just because Jesus provided it doesn't mean you and I will experience it. That got some of you, huh? But for it to be a reality in our lives, it must be received or cooperated with by us. Well, are we going to receive something that we don't even believe is ours? Are we going to cooperate with something we don't even know belongs to us? No. No. So step one is finding out what he's done. Well, we just read that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Galatians 3 said that Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. And that we might receive it by faith. Amen. See, that's our part. So we receive his blessing by faith. That's different than praying, oh God, bless me. He's already blessed me. And then the degree to which we experience the blessing. We said to you that the blessing, Paul said, I'm going to come in the fullness. That means that there's less than the fullness. That means that there's just a sliver. There's just a trickle. There's a medium amount. Huh? Biggie size. Do they still have those? I found out one day that if you order biggie size, you'll become biggie size. And I didn't want to become biggie size. Praise the Lord. So the degree to which we experience the blessing depends on our degree of cooperation. Our degree of faith, our degree of obedience. You know, you can obey God in one area, disobey him in 17 other areas. And then sit there and say, well, Lord, I obeyed you in this area. I don't understand why I'm not blessed in all these other areas. It's so much simpler than your head will say, well, there's got to be some logical reason. There actually is. We've got to just do what he said. Now, let's get back to what Paul said. I'd like to analyze this statement a little bit. He said, because that's a huge statement. How many of you would have said that lately to somebody? Next time you see me, I'm going to be so dripping with the blessing of God. That could be taken a lot of different ways. for him to say, I'm blessed and it's on me big time, that was not arrogance, nor was it pride. What it was his faith talking. He had so much faith. In other words, he believed it so much. He believed that the blessing of the Lord was on him just like God said it was. He believed it so much that he said with confidence, he said, next time you see me, I'm going to be more blessed than I am today. Do most Christians talk like that? Huh? Most Christians you know talk like that? If you do, then you know a good Christian. Most Christians say what the world says. And what does the world say? You just never know. That's different than what Paul said. Paul didn't say you just never know what kind of shape I'm going to show up in or if I'm going to show up at all. He said, listen, I'm coming to see you. And when I come, the blessing's going to be on me in its full potential. Most Christians wouldn't even believe they could have it in its full potential. But Paul said you could. Praise the Lord. Well, what if this happens or what if that happens? We're talking about, hang on a second. We're talking about the blessing of the Lord. What if it happens? What if that happens? What is that sickness against the blessing of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord can overcome anything. So I would just be interested to know, would you be interested to know how Paul's little statement worked out? Huh? Yes. Mr. Big Talk? How did it work out for you, Paul? Yeah. Do you want to know? Well, now how did he say he'd arrive? Fullness of the blessing. Well, I have to inform you today that when Paul finally did set out for Rome, and it wasn't when he thought he was going to, when he finally did set out for Rome, he was a prisoner. Yeah. Probably had nothing to his name. Well, see, that proves it. How many will hang on until we actually get to Rome? Okay, you'll hang on? He finally did get on a ship as a prisoner with a bunch of other prisoners and a lot of guards. And he set sail for Rome. Nothing to his name as a prisoner. And I got to tell you, things really went downhill from there. How's he coming? I'm coming with the full measure of the blessing. It's easy to say some stuff when times are good. Yeah. Well, then for about a month during this journey, and I don't know that it was supposed to take a month. I don't know how long it took to sail from wherever he left to Rome under good conditions. But he got caught in a vicious storm that lasted for the better part of a month. Storm at sea. Up and down. And up and down. For 2 weeks, you didn't eat anything. Up and down. How you doing, Paul? Blessed. Blessed. Up and down. This is what it looks like, the blessing, huh? Oh, I want more of this. What must have been going through Paul's mind? How many think the thoughts at least came, wish I hadn't said that in the letter. They probably passed that letter around for everybody to see. Oh, worse, it got recorded for all eternity. Well, finally, after all the up and down and all, and then I'm blessed over the side of the boat. And finally, the ship just broke apart, but they were close enough to an island to where they could swim. Mr. Faith Man got a piece of the ship, using it as a kickboard. Kick, 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 thinking back to Red Cross swimming lessons. And swam to shore. And then when they made it to shore, they're wondering, what kind of island was this? And they found out no one but barbarians lived there. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah. Now somebody's got to stay awake and keep guard all night so we don't just get eaten. Yeah. But they ended up being nice to all the shipwrecked prisoners, you know. And you got the guards saying, why don't we just kill all them? Yeah. Because, you know, now we have an island to keep track of them. One thing to keep track of them on a boat.
Right.
And it was cold.
Yeah.
And it was raining. Yeah. One thing to get out of the water and get to put a nice robe on.
Yeah.
But it's freezing cold. It's raining. You haven't eaten. You just had to use all your energy to swim. Now you best build a fire to warm up. So Paul's out there helping him gather sticks. And up out of this bunch of sticks comes this big viper. And the Bible says it fastened himself. What did it use? Velcro?
No.
No, his teeth. And when a snake pushes its teeth in, that's when it releases the venom. And Paul said, I will come. In the fullness of the blessing of Christ. He's shivering.
Yep.
Hadn't eaten.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Freezing.
Yes.
It's pouring.
Yep.
There's a big snake hanging off of his hands. He should be dying. People are going 10, 9. Because he's about to drop dead. And here's where it shows up, what you've been doing for the past month on the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most people would have gave up the second they got on the boat as a slave or as a prisoner. Well, wish I hadn't said that. I'm going to Rome, but it's not like I thought I was going to Rome. I thought I was going to go. You know, when God speaks to you, you put it together in your head and you think, hey. And God told us to start the church, and we're thinking, they don't know we're coming yet, but I mean, all of Buffalo's going to take that red carpet and roll it out, and we're going to have a line at our second service, you know. Have to have a lottery for the seats, stuff like that. Well, that's faith thinking. That's not bad. But here's where we test and see what Paul's been believing and Paul's been thinking for all these days. And we find out that he did not let go of what he said. He didn't let go of his faith. And the Bible says he took that snake and shook it off into the fire. Got that thing off of him. And he did not drop dead.
No, he did not.
Why? Because the blessing's more powerful than venom.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
If you mix your faith with it.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, things were, I don't think anybody expected things to get that bad. What did he say? I'm coming in the fullness of the blessing. Most people would have started singing one of the You Never Know songs. You just turn on Christian radio and you can hear those all day long, you know. You never know, it's such a struggle down here and poor old me. Call it naive. Call it being deceived. Call it being mentally unbalanced. But Paul didn't look at the circumstances. And faith doesn't look at this. They're hard not to notice. But I'm saying faith doesn't focus on the circumstances. Right in the middle of that mess, Paul said, he blessed me. He has blessed me. So I am blessed. The blessing is working, and I'll have it all. I got to tell you now, I'm happy to report that when Paul did arrive at Rome, he arrived in the lap of luxury. I'm telling you, on that island, things turned around for him. Paul didn't die of that thing, that snake bite. And the head of the barbarian said, would you come and pray for somebody in my house? And he did. And he was the head of the island.
Right.
The guy got healed. And they said they lodged him there in luxury.
Yes.
Come on.
And then he arrived in Rome sailing on a luxury cruiser.
Yes.
I'm not joking. You study these things in history. You study. It tells you what sign and what shipmaker in the Bible. He was an Alexandrian ship.
Yep.
They made the luxury liners. And it says before we left, they loaded us down with cash. They loaded him down with cash and goods. And so Paul, the prisoner, he got to Rome and he had enough cash on him to rent a big house for 2 years and have a living room big enough to have meetings in like what we're having here today. For a prisoner, that is the fullness of the blood. He wasn't sitting in some dark cell. He got to pick out his own house. He got to rent it. Things can turn around if you'll hang on to what you believe. If you hang on to what, I can't understand how some people can sit here and go. Are you allowed to slap people in church? He got there in the fullness of the blessing. That's how he got there. Oh, I know. There's a reason why every Christian you see is not walking in the fullness of the blessing. Look what it took. But all it took, it doesn't take something superhuman. You know, you don't have to have, thank God you don't have to have biceps this big, you know? I'd lose out there. In other words, it's not anything, it's not that it's just so hard. You have to believe what God says. You got to say what God says and not change, not give up, because the blessing of Abraham comes on us and we receive through faith. That's the only way to have it. He had it all. He got it, man. Whoa, man. Now, a good place to start is just to feed on these things until you believe that I am blessed and I just cannot be cursed. It's just, there's just nothing, only the blessing. Paul was going to go to Rome. He was going to arrive alive and the way he said he would. The blessing cannot be overcome by circumstances here on earth. No recession can keep the blessing of the Lord from bringing wealth. There is no. Listen, it'll work on the moon. It'll work in, you know, because there's people that say, well, you can preach this in America. You can't preach this over in the third world. It'll work anywhere that God is. It'll work anywhere. There is no recession. There is no bad economy that can keep the blessing of the Lord from doing what it said. There is no sickness that can keep the blessing of the Lord from bringing health. I preach it boldly.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you kidding me? The blessing of the Lord?
Yes.
Abraham's wife, Sarah, she was barren when she was 20 and had a baby when she was 90.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
Come on.
That's right.
Something happened. There is no devil that can keep the blessing from coming to pass, though he is the one that would hinder and bring those circumstances to you to try and get you to say something different. He's the one to make the ship go up and down and up and down. Where do you find a storm for 25 days in the one place? Storms usually move around. No, that storm was exactly where the enemy wanted it. And we'll just keep it there until Paul gives up. Well, Paul may have given up a lot of things on that ship. But his faith was not one of them. Man. Oh, only we can disconnect. Only we can keep it from coming to pass by not holding on and by failing to receive what's already been bestowed upon us. Well, I got probably maybe one more message about this. But how many believe that you are blessed? You are blessed. Turn to somebody and ask them how they're doing today. And the answer better be. Come on now, turn to somebody. Turn to your other person on the other side. Say, how are you today? What's the answer? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed. Well, thank God for the blessing. Do you believe you're blessed?
Amen. I am blessed.
Praise God. And in every area that the blessing worked in Abraham's life, we get what the word says for us concerning those areas.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. And it will come to pass. Amen. Father, thank you today for the blessing of the Lord. Thank you that while the world's having their toughest of times, your people can have the best of times. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for your things. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand up today? The fullness of the blessing. The whole thing. My wife and I have something that we say to each, we say it to each other, but we're confessing it unto the Lord. You understand that we have the privilege, just like you, to get to exercise our faith, to do what we do and believe God. And so we look at each other and we say, we're going to have everything that God's given to us.
Yes.
And whereas one time in my life, I might have thought, well, that's a greedy statement. No, we understand the purpose of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. The purpose of it is so we can be a blessing. Think of all the people that Paul taught in that house for 2 years, that if he was in a dark cell, he couldn't have done it. And the Bible said no man could stop him. He preached the word freely. He preached it boldly for two years in that house because of the blessing. Amen. I'm going to have it all. I'll be an example today and say, glory to God. You come see me a couple years from now. You ought to be seeing me real frequently.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we go to church together, don't we?
Right. Amen.
But I mean, if you were just in town today and in town, then a couple years later, you're going to see me more blessed.
Yes. Amen. More blessed.
I'll be more blessed, not less. You're not going to see me subtracted from. Amen. We believe we hadn't seen nothing yet in our lives. And we've experienced the blessing. Oh, but it's nothing like what we're going to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God.